Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for those three great pastors, those three great men. You know, I look up there as they were talking, and I looked at myself and I said, and those guys aren't little guys. You know, they're men. They're men. And what was stirred in my heart was, you know, the gospel, the relationship with God is not for the weak. It's for the strong. You know, you look at some of the great men out there in their faith and look at them, like Tebow, right? Huh? Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for that guy. John 3:16. To have a relationship with God is for the strong, because the world's going to come against you. No matter what it is, when you have God in your life, the world is going to come against you, and you have to stand strong for who you are. Your convictions are who you are. I stand here today because I have a conviction of who I am. Will I be persecuted? Have I been persecuted? Oh, yeah. Sometimes I say, bring it on, but then at the same time I say, Lord, stop, because it's too much. But I will tell you one thing. The gospel is not for the weak. The world will say God is for the weak. The weak people turn to God. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's a lie. Because I'm living it, and it's for the strong. So I want to give those three pastors a hand of praise for standing strong in their conviction, despite the persecution. Those who are called, stand based on the persecution. Let's give John Stanchek a hand of praise. He's not here, but I know he's got a call on his life, and we're raising him up to be the man he is. And don't be surprised if they come against you too, if you start embracing more of him. When you come under this persecution, when people cause accusations or stir trouble up in your life, kind of tease you with your convictions or make fun of you or whatever, stand strong, because God is looking down saying, well done. Well done. And I don't know about you, but I want God on my side. Because when God's on your side, he turns all things around for the good to those who love him. So whatever this is going on, remember, God's going to turn around for the good. The dark will be exposed and the light will come and shine. And the glory of God will reign at the end of it. And that's the key. He wants his people to stand through the fire so that he can be seen in his glory. No one would see God if he didn't stand. Now the world is seeing that there is a God. Moving forward, 2018, I feel really strong in my heart that God is saying, I want to dwell with my people, but I'm requiring a different house. I'm not requiring the same old manna, the same old teaching, the same old thing, the same old sacrifice, the same old, same old. It's a new day and a new revelation of his glory, because he's building something new. He's building a greater house, a bigger house, a house for his presence to dwell in. I believe God gives us a piece of him. And in the past, he gave us a piece enough for us to handle. Could you imagine if the whole presence of God came into you? I think I'd explode. I couldn't handle it. Because the light versus the darkness, I'd probably explode. Boom! But I believe God is now saying, I'm preparing a house, and my word is coming out for those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Those who have eyes to see can see. And today I want to talk about one of the most important things that we need to embrace. And it's called the supernatural. When Pastor Kurt was talking about being brought into that place, well, you know, you're weak because you believe in God. And I was taken back on that too. And the comment that was made was like, you got to have faith. You got to have faith. That is part of the supernatural. You got to have faith that there is a God that exists that brought in creation, who created the whole world and the heavens and the earth and all that is within it. And then to be able to know that there is a power that works. And this is so important. Man has taken their own power and their own glory as if they're talented and they're the ones that are able to do the things that can be done. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's God who gives you the arm to throw. It's God who allows you to cross that line. It's God who opens up the doors that no man can open up and closes the doors that no man can shut. It's God that makes a way where there is no way. And we need to be able to see. The verse that he gave me was, in the last days, the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. We elaborated on truth. We didn't really elaborate on spirit. Today, I believe God is saying in 2018, the supernatural, the spirit, has to be a major part of our belief, our faith. When he speaks of the true worshipers are going to worship God in spirit, we need to begin to start crying out in our hearts, Lord, let us have eyes to see and let us have ears to hear. When an individual comes against you, do we still look at the individual or do we look at the powers and principalities that are coming against us? Do we get angry at the flesh or do we get angry at the spirit? We need to begin to start understanding the spiritual world so that we can have a heart that says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they have done. So that we can walk with mercy and compassion and love, and yet at the same time see the battle that is over our lives. We have begun to talk about part of the spirit, which is the soul, which is embraced in wickedness, which we were born in sin, so to say. That's a nature who we are. But when we give our life to God and we humble ourselves to coming into that humility, knowing that it's not us, but it's Him, and He is the one who allows things to manifest in our lives, and we say to ourselves, okay, Lord, I'm going to walk with You. I'm going to tell you right now, You have just casted down the wickedness in your life. The soul lives by saying, oh, I'm the one who did it. I'm the one who has the talent. I'm the one who, you know, was able to make these things happen in my life. Because I did the good things. God is not desiring what we think is good. We need to begin to understand the mind of God. Why I say this? Because I look at Jesus, and He's supposed to be our example. Okay, He's a prophet who was sent 2,000 years ago, who had a relationship with God, who came into the will of God, and lived the life that God has created for him. This is my heart. Lord, let me live the life that You have created for me. Don't let me live my life. Let me live the life that You have created for me. If it's a pro football player or an announcer or, you know, a family man or a pastor, whatever it is, I just want to live the life that God has created for me so that He receives the glory and not me. With that being said, I take that verse that, you know, Jesus was living His life, fulfilling the Father's will, and He came to Peter, and Peter didn't want Him to go to a certain place, and He rebuked Peter and said, Peter, get behind me, Satan. You don't have the mind of God. Now, wouldn't you say that He had eyes to see, ears to hear, a knowledge to know the spirits and the powers and the principalities, and it allowed His heart to be established to where He's creating a place for God to dwell. When we begin to understand the supernatural, this is a part of building the house of God. We can't have eyes to look carnal. We can't look at the carnality of the world and the things of the world, the pride of life, the, what is the, Sam knows these very well, Pastor Sam. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That is considered the world in general. And when we look at these things and we desire those, we're now carnally minded and we're being conformed to the carnality of life. But in 2018, God is saying, I want us to grow up and build this house that God can dwell in and no longer look at the natural, but begin to understand the supernatural and look at the supernatural. God is the one who opens up doors and God is the one who closes doors. When we humble ourselves and call upon His name and say, God, I only want to do Your will, not my will, that opens up the door for the Spirit of God to live and dwell. The pride of life will push God away. I got some scripture verses to back up what I'm saying in a minute, because I want us to begin to understand that God doesn't hear everybody's cry. God doesn't hear everyone. You would think, right? We were born up, oh, you just, you know, say your prayers and God hears you. I'm going to tell you right now, if we don't understand God and understand what He desires, you can bang on God's door all you want and He's not even going to be there. You're locking on the wrong house. How many people are understanding this one? I hope so, because we really need to grab hold of this word that He's bringing to us, because I believe that His desire is not to have anyone suffer or be destroyed. He wants peace and prosperity and His righteousness in us. And when I say His righteousness, I'm going to tell you right now, what you think is good may not be good in God's eyes. God's righteousness is what He desires, not our righteousness. Our righteousness is like, P.U., get away from me, because it's connected with pride. Our righteousness is connected with pride. Understand that. Now, when God convicts you and calls you and tells you to do something, that's a whole different story. You're walking with Him. But when you're just out there trying to do good deeds, you're wasting your time. Please understand this. We want to only do what the Father tells us to do. We only want to say what the Father tells us to say. How many people are understanding this one? That's why we respect Jesus. That's why we're the followers of Jesus. This man here was one who, you know, was a forerunner of a relationship with God. And I will let everyone know that, you know, He stands beside me. And I hope and pray that I can, when I do leave this earth, I can give Him a little bump on my hip and take His seat, because, you know, God can say you can do that, you know. I want to be seated right next to the Heavenly Father. He'll just willingly give it up? Thank you. Thank you. I'll take that. If you have your Bibles, and it's not a big deal in His place if you don't. Sometimes it's better just to listen than to get distracted by flipping through pages and stuff like that. But I'm reading out of the New King James Bible, and if you have them, you can turn to this verse. It says, John chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him." So God is seeking, really, right now, for those individuals that will begin to grab hold of this word. The supernatural has to be a part of our life. We need to begin to really embrace faith, cast down and understand wickedness, begin to know the tools of wickedness, because I'm going to tell you, the tools of wickedness is one, worry, fear, anxiety. You know why those things manifest? Because you can't give it up. You can't let it go. When you have those things starting to manifest in your life, the first thing that should come to us, because we're spiritually minded, wickedness. Bing, 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 wickedness. Bing, 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 bing. We should be built with a natural radar so that we can smell And we can know that something doesn't smell right. I was looking at Pastor Kurt's wife, and I said, how does it smell? She goes, it stinks. And I said, you're right on. We are people who understand the Spirit. And it has to smell good. If it doesn't smell good, if it doesn't have that sweet smelling aroma, and it doesn't sit well, and it sits well in us, we know it's good. If it doesn't sit well in us and it stinks, something's wrong. And truth will come out. But to live that life, to know in your own life, to know that when you are living a life and all of a sudden you start to come, fear starts knocking at your door. Worry starts knocking at your door. Anxiety starts knocking at your door. When you begin to get depressed and you feel as though that things aren't happening and something's not going right, and you begin to get stirred up in anxiety and anxiousness, and you're unsettled. Spiritual mind will automatically know that there are powers and principalities that are beginning to come to you and attack you. We need to take hold of faith and know our God and say, and laugh at it. And bring joy and peace in our hearts, because that in itself pushes darkness away. It pushes it away. God knows your heart, and He knows the desires of your heart, and He knows who's innocent, and He knows who's not innocent. And when these things come against us, when we begin to have joy and peace and not get worried and allow those carnal pressures to rob the spiritual joy of God away, I'll tell you right now, you better start digging the hole then. You better start digging the hole, because you're going in the pit. You're going in that hole. You're going to be digging a hole, and you're going to go in it. But to stay out of the hole, to avoid the traps, start saying, thank you, Lord. Start having a mind of Christ, having the mind of God, having the mind of the Spirit, and begin to start saying, you know what, God? I'm going to rejoice you in all things. I don't understand what's going on, but you know what? Father, forgive those who have come against me. Forgive those who bring accusations against me. Forgive those for those things that aren't happening. Lord, I don't understand what's going on, but I know that your timing is perfect, and maybe I'm not ready for it. You know, these are the desires of my heart, but I know that you're building and equipping me and training me and getting me prepared so that I walk with humility. Do you know that wickedness comes in such a deceptive way that your attitude can change the atmosphere? How many people understand that one? And if you have a bad attitude, guess what? It's going to change your atmosphere. If you got a good attitude, a humble attitude, a willing attitude, knowing. See, the thing about God is so wonderful. He gives you the senses to see beyond what the natural sees. You see beyond. And you can see what is happening. You can actually read the heart of an individual. You begin to understand and see, and you are able to say the perfect words. You're able to bring across exactly what they're looking for when you're in front of somebody, because God's ministering. He's opening up the doors for His glory to come in. I truly believe it's coming. We need to carry ourselves in a certain way in His glory. When we can carry ourselves in glory, when we can live in that realm of glory, there's favor that comes in the glory of God. We're living in a time right now that I believe that God is preparing His people. And there's a greater glory coming for His children. And if you think that you're going to accomplish your own glory in this world today, you got deception. That's what you have. You have the soul deceiving you and lying to you, because it just wants to build you up in your pride for a fall. How many people have heard that saying before? Pride comes before a great fall. And that's what the soul does. That's what wickedness does. But God is bringing us further beyond the wickedness. I believe God wants us to begin to understand the powers and the principalities of the supernatural. Because there's going to be a lot that are going to come and operate in the supernatural. I believe that there's going to be a lot of falseness that is going to rise up and lead you to believe because of the supernatural. And we have to be able to be seeing with eyes to see. Because if you have carnal eyes and the supernatural manifests itself in the dark realm, because dark realm can manifest supernatural. How do people know that the dark realm can operate supernaturally and even bring you false blessings? Here's a perfect example. Let's say you invested in something, and it's a good investment, and it's definitely showing a prosperous return. Looks good, doesn't it? You're making money. Let's say it was real estate, and it doubled itself in value. But that whole time, it's building double value. Bad tenants. Things are breaking. It's bringing you worry and fear, causing arguments and fights between the family. It's stealing and robbing your joy and your peace, and it's becoming nothing but a headache. Can you see the supernatural now? Now, the dark supernatural says, it's doubling in value. Great investment. I'm going to make a lot of money. That's dark supernatural. But the light supernatural is saying, it's stealing my joy. It's breaking up my family. It's separating me from happiness and peace. It's dividing. It's causing havoc. It's just making me upset. How many people are seeing this? So we need to begin to understand. I'll tell you what, if something like that, I don't care if it's tripling my money, I'm throwing that thing away because my joy and my peace and my love and my family and my friends and my time is worth more than whatever this thing can pay. That's a spiritual mind, because the spiritual sees and protects the true value. And I'm going to back this one up with scripture. And I forget who the apostles were, but they saw this lame man at the temple, and he says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, rise up and walk. You can see that there was prosperity there in the supernatural, but in the natural there was no prosperity. It was just a big headache. I'm going to share something here. It says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Must. We need to be able to see and hear. I'm going to turn to John chapter 9. Real quick here, John chapter 9, verse 31. This is something really important that I said in the past, even today. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. That's not my words. That's right here. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. Now, I think if you've been listening to our messages and begin to start understanding what a sinner is, okay, it's really just those that are carnally minded. Ones that operate in the pride of life, you know, what are those three things again, Pastor Sam? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. If we're not looking at God and how he opens up the doors and he works things out through our lives and says, you know, Lord, I only want your will to be done, and I'm going to rest in you, and I'm not going to be anxious for nothing, and I'm going to rejoice for everything, because I know that you have set it already in heaven. Your life is a book, and it's already written. Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. What will come to pass will come to pass. We just have to let it, God work time out. I've said some things before when people had this anxiety, and I shared it with a lot of loved ones. You got to let it go. It's in you. You just got to let it go and let God work it out, because you don't see the supernatural. There are wars that are going over around you trying to rob and steal. And the way they try to battle you to rob and steal is they'll throw worry in there. They'll throw fear in there. They'll throw anxiety in there. They'll throw depression in there. But if we can cast all that stuff out of us through the wickedness, the powers and the principalities can't harm you. And tomorrow will come to pass. We're our own enemy. We are destroying ourselves by lack of knowledge. And the grace of God is the knowledge that saves us. We are saved by grace. And without the supernatural knowledge, we're destroyed. We need to grab hold of the supernatural. We need to grab hold and understand, because I'm going to tell you right now, your heart is true. And when you have a desire in your heart to be something or to have something, it's true. What perverts it and taints it and alters it and puts us on the wrong course and deceives us, maybe gives us a taste, but it doesn't last and it's stolen, is because of lack of knowledge, lack of grace. And that grace taken away from us is why we don't receive the life that is in us. How many people grabbed that? I know it was a lot to swallow. That's why I believe God has begun to show us, I would say, the powers that we are able to work with. It's not our job to try to pray and fight principalities and these other powers in those heavenlies. Our job is to fight the wickedness of sin. Now, the sin is not you being bad or good, right or wrong. I'm going to tell you right now. The sin, and I'll make it real simple, being humble. Don't feel as though that you're entitled for anything. You know, there's an evil that is being poured out right now that is deceiving a lot, and it's called entitlements. Has anyone ever heard that word before? And they have these entitlements in their head, thinking that they deserve and they're entitled. I'm going to tell you right now, you want to say the devil or darkness is going like this. Yeah, man. Woohoo! We're having it. We're getting down tonight. We're eating fish tonight, daddy. Uh-huh. They're rejoicing. They're having a good time. Because these people are embracing it, and all it's doing is building pride, and God resists the proud. We need to understand the mind of God, especially in this hour. Because what did it say? Now we know that God does not hear sinners. Listen, I hope and pray that those that are listening to us, we speak all around the world, and there's a lot of people listening to us. And I hope and pray that they really understand what a sinner is. A sinner is not what you think it is. I smoke. I looked at a dirty magazine. I said a curse word. I yelled and screamed. I lost my temper. That is far from the truth. Far from the truth. You got a conviction. You're not living by your conviction. You're letting the powers of the world make you feel embarrassed and you can't stand up and for yourself. You're losing opportunity because you're shameful. You don't feel good about yourself. You got to rise up. You got to rise up. God made you wonderful and beautiful and smart and intelligent. You can do exactly what he called you to do. You just not believe. You got to believe. You got to believe in the life that he has given you. Me in the world, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing right now. But it's no longer I that lives, but he that lives within me. I don't look at myself, but I look at him, and I say, I give you all glory, honor, and praise. I say, Lord, when I wake up, I say, Lord, what are we doing? Because he's doing it. He's making it happen. He's the one that's speaking. He's the one that's acting upon it. He's the one. I go where the Spirit goes. I stay where the Spirit stays. Our eyes, our ears, and our heart need to understand the supernatural. We need to understand the supernatural. And I believe this is part of the house that God is talking about. I'm going to read another verse. It's in Revelations. Revelations 14:6. And if you have time, you can keep on reading because it's a pretty awesome thing. Revelations 14:6. I should have marked these things, but here it is. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. I believe that this is what's happening right now. It's an everlasting gospel that we're talking about. It hasn't changed. God wants a dwelling place. And if you look at Jesus as an example, he had a dwelling place. He built a house for God to dwell in. A true worshiper who worshiped in spirit and in truth. I'm going to share some more with you. In verse 7 it says, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to God. For the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. It goes on. And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on the forehead of his hands, himself shall also drink the wine in the wrath of God, which is poured out. And it goes on and on and on. And it says, and the cup of his indignation, he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. How many people understand that Jesus has been worshipped for many, many years? And I know that there's going to be some people that may hate me after this one. But I want you to know that through revelations and through scripture, he's known as the Lamb. Even himself says, don't worship me, worship God only. And I believe that the church is going to begin to change the way they worship. They were brought up in a certain tradition, in a certain way, but they weren't brought up in the revelations of God. And they were brought up in the sense where they were diverting your worship and who you are. God wants to dwell in you. And the shadows of his presence wants to manifest his glory. God is a jealous God, and he won't have any other gods before him, not even the Lamb. Understand this. You want to fulfill the will of God? Grab hold of this truth. Grab hold of what I'm saying. If you want your life to be fulfilled and reach that eternal realm, when you leave this earth and you come before the judgment stand, are you going to be one that will stand before him and say, but Lord, Lord, I did all these things in your name? I'm going to tell you right now, if you continue to read that scripture verse in Revelation that I started you in, and you just keep reading, it'll tell you that the Lamb will be there at judgment. And when we stand before him and say, but Lord, Lord, we did all these things in your name, and he says, get away from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. We need to know the truth, especially in this time we are living. You know, Pastor Tim and I and Sam and Pastor Kurt, we have this round discussion on Wednesday nights, and we break out and we really throw some stuff out there. And I want you to know that God changes. In the beginning, God wrote the Ten Commandments for Moses, didn't he? Said, follow them. And they did. And then all of a sudden, Jesus came, right? And said, whoa, tear down the altars. No more blood sacrifices. But Moses was instructed by God to tear the altars down, or to build the altars and cut up the lambs. But then it goes again. A new heaven and a new earth. Watch this. Then all of a sudden, the synagogue or Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priest said to Jesus, what is this foreign gospel that you're talking about? We know God. We have little bells on our garment that when we go into the holies of holies, we can drag them out if we don't hear it ringing anymore. What are you talking about, this God? What are you talking about, this foreign thing you got? What's going on? No more blood sacrifices? You know what Jesus said? I'm the Lamb. I came to do away with the sacrifices for sin, and then now there is no more sin. I'm going to show you how to take away sin by doing the will of the Father. By saying, it is no longer you that lives, but God, the Spirit, His presence lives in you. You know what happened? We started to worship the sacrifice. And all went well in the church. And now they received the Lamb. No more sins. Yay, we praise you, Jesus, for dying for us. Yay, we praise you and we honor you and worship you. And now God is saying, whoa! You're worshiping the Lamb. I put him on the cross. I put my spirit in him and raised him up as the little lamb for your sins. I raised him up. I sacrificed him. How many people believe God killed the lamb? Think about it. God killed the lamb. God killed the lamb. Jesus was the lamb. In Revelations, it speaks about him being the lamb. And the lamb, I'm going to tell you right now, is going to be the judge. We're going to see the lamb. We're going to stand before the judgment seat. We're going to see the lamb. He's going to be judged. He was the one who followed the will of God and understood, because he came in flesh. Understand this. He came in flesh and understood how to come into and how to build the house. If you're a chief engineer, wouldn't you want that chief engineer to judge the house if it was built correctly or not? Wouldn't you? I would. I wouldn't want anybody who didn't stand in my shoes and understand what the flesh was like to try to tell me if I lived my life right. Think about it. Just give it a little thought. And that's why he's the judge at judgment. I want us to really grab hold of the Spirit so that we can see the Spirit, so we can say, hey, Jesus, thank you. And we give you honor. And we even give you praise. But what about your worship? What about your worship? When are you ever going to come to a point where you know who you are and begin to understand the powers and the principalities, so when fear knocks on your door, I'll tell you right now, we are babes and we are sucking on milk. We are babes and we're sucking on milk. You know why? Because we don't have the power over fear yet. We don't have the power over worry yet. We don't have the power over anxiety yet. We don't have the power over the drama. We don't have the power over depression. We don't have the power. You know what we're saying? It's an addiction. It's a sickness. Oh, I'm sick. I have an addiction. I can't get whole. I have a real big issue. Were you born like that? And then one day you woke up with it, with that sickness? Or is this sickness floating in the air? Oh, I don't want to get sick. Give me a mask. I don't want it. I don't want to be addicted. It's a choice. We're all sick. I'm going to tell you right now, we're all sick because of the choices that we're making. You allow fear to come in your life. You allow anxiety to come in your life. You allow sleepless nights. You allow depression. You allow it. And this is what God is saying. Why? I changed the dynamics. And now I want to dwell. I want to take away all your fear. I want to take all your worry away. Who opens up the door for fear? Why is your life a mess? Think about it. It may not be a mess now because, oh, everything's being good. You know, everything's going well. Was it a mess? Let's take some things away. Let me see how well you are. Let me take some things away. Let me take some of that love that you love so much. What do you love? Think about it. Let me take a little love out of you. Let me take a little love out of you and tell me if you're feeling good. Listen, God wants to fill us up so much to where he's the love, the only love. How many people are grabbing this one? I know it's a tough one. Believe me, it's a tough one. I've given you the end of the story in 1 hour. You're stripped in an hour. But the beauty is we can look for salvation, eternity, eternal realm, and even the doors opening up in your life. How many people want things? How many people are sick and tired of having powers and principalities just knock at your door, break in, and say to you, you can't do this and you can't do that. You can't have this and you can't have that. I tell you right now, powers and principalities will strip you. They'll say those things. You might not literally hear it, but it's happening. How many doors have not opened up in your life? Powers and principalities said you can't have it. You just didn't hear it. Your heart is saying one thing. God is wanting to give it to you. But we're treading out the path. We are making the path for these powers just to whip right in and just strip us away from every desire in our heart. And you know when it comes? I'm going to tell you when it comes. When everything is good. When everything is going great. Oh, and I'll tell you what, when you got 4 or 5 months of things going great, hang on to your hat and hang on to your seat, because I'll tell you right now, it's coming. The reason why it didn't come in those 4 months is because there's a war over your head that you cannot see because you're carnally minded. But if you were able to see in those good 4 months, you'd be broken, humble, and you wouldn't be out doing your thing. You would be on your knees thanking God for the glorious times that you have right now, and please don't let them stop. There's a humility and a fear of God that rises up in those that call by His name and know Him through the Spirit of God. And when those good things are coming, they don't lose their guard. They don't drop their shield. They don't leave their helmet home. They are full suited all the time, knowing that the darkness is crouching, looking to devour you. What happens is we become deceived. All of a sudden, we think we're good. Oh, we're in God's right eyes. We're doing good. Money's flowing, coming in. I'm getting love. I'm feeling loved. I'm feeling loved. Everything's good. Woo! Yeah! Let's party! I'm feeling loved! God is there. I'm a jealous God. I won't have any other gods before me. And you're just opening up the door for Pandora's box, and here it comes. And now you're going to begin to get on your knees and cry out to me. How many have been stuck in that position once or twice? Come on, this is how I learned. I learned by the things I suffered. You know, I just repeated what I've done. I just told you where I was. I know how things happen. I know how they work. And then we wallow more into our depression, and then we go deeper and deeper, and darkness is saying that I got them exactly where I want. And then you know what the beautiful thing is? Deception comes in and says, cry to your God. But I want you to know that verse that comes up begins to say in John, now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears Him. The God that you're crying out when you were a sinner, you're crying out to, I don't know what God, your pillow God, because He ain't hearing you. You got to get to that place of repentance, and you got to say, oh God, you know what? I took my eyes off of you. I kind of let my guard down. I left my shield home. I left my helmet home. I kind of got back into myself again. I forgot about you. You know? Rather than having one drink, I had 10 drinks. I got away from myself. I was having such a good time. Or I ignored those convictions and I let the pressures of fear and worry get a hold of me again. We need to fight. Constantly. Fight, 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 fight. With time, I got to close. And we're going to continue. For 2018, listen, the Lord wants a house and He wants it built with His hands. And He wants our eyes to see and our ears to hear, and to have a knowledge of what is happening and what's going on around us, and stop focusing on the things of this world and begin to look at the supernatural Listen, I love it when the pressures of the world is off me for a moment, but I'm going to tell you right now, I live my life as if there's still pressure. I'll never forget. I will never forget how he pulled me out of the miry pit. Understand this revelation. Steal my heart, please, and put it inside you to save your own soul. So that you can be transformed into his image and be able to have that eternal life. There's a knock on your door. Rise up. Be the man who you are. You got so much to offer. You're going to fund. God's got it in the works. What we got to do is just get out of the fear and the worry and the anxiety and thank God for everything. Everything. Every breath that you were able to speak and every contact and number. You know how often we forget about the opportunity and the simplicity of the gift that is in front of us. And we lose gratefulness on the smallest things. If I can just build your worship up and be grateful in the most minute, smallest blessing in your life and build on that, I'm building the house of God. We got to turn around and start seeing things differently. We got to, like I shared with the pastors in the past, we got to thank God for five fingers on our hands. We got to get back to worship. Can you imagine if you lost your thumb? I can't pick a class up anymore. I have to do two hands now. I thank him for my thumb. I thank him for a sound mind. I thank him for those that are in my life. I thank him that he got rid of the trash in my life. You see, I'm not mourning over the trash. I'm grateful that he got rid of the trash. I don't need that trash. I need more love. Not those that are stealing my joy and peace and happiness. If we can just bow our heads for a moment. Because of time, I'm not offering the ministry today to minister in one by one. But I want to pray in a whole, a corporate prayer. And if you're sincere like I am, let us reach these levels that God is calling us to. Let us come out of the world. We've heard this many, many times, but there is levels and revelations of the world that we are expanding on, and we got to come out of them. If you love your life, you're going to lose it. If you hate your life, you're going to gain one. If you keep loving your life and you love the situation that you're in and you're happy that everything's good, don't lose the fear of God. Don't lose who he is. Don't lose it. I share this deep out of my heart. I see blessings on people's lives. But then I see the loss of the fear of the Lord and them going right back to their vomit. And they don't realize it because they love their vomit. They love it. Lord, keep us out of that place. Let us embrace the blessings but never lose who you are. And if you never lose who he is, you will be blessed beyond measure. Let his destiny come into your life. Listen to me. Wear your helmet of salvation, your breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the shoes on your feet. Listen to me. Don't lose the fact that there is warfare over your life to destroy it. Don't lose the fact that we shed off the old man and it's so easily to put back on. Don't lose the fact that that's a suit of shame, and it will destroy you. Smell the darkness of fear and worry and anxiety and anxiousness and depression and drama. Smell it. Because they're the dark tools to build devastation in your life. Rejoice and praise God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Lord, I ask that you embed this in us. Lord, let me meditate on this day and night. Let me hear it over and over and over so I know I'm subject for a fall. Don't let the good times come and I turn my face from you. Keep me broken, humble, grateful. Let me know who you are the more. For 2018, this year, Lord, build me this house you want to build. Build me to be a pillar in your house. I pray. Amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I'm going to ask one of the pastors if they would come up and close us. Any one of the pastors, it doesn't matter. All right, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise to Pastor Sam.
Amen. Great man of God, amen. Pastor's right. You know, before we received grace, which is the knowledge of the divine nature in us, we really chose the only thing we had, the only avenue we had, which is fear, worry, and anxiety to deal with every problem that rose up in our lives. We had no other choice. It was like something happened, and you have one road. Go down fear, worry, or anxiety. Well, this grace that we've been given gives you a choice, a different avenue, and it's called truth. And here's a couple of truths real quick, and then we're going to release you. If God is for you, who could be against you? If God is for you, listen, if God is for you, the creator of the whole entire universe, the whole entire everything that exists is for you, who could be against you? All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. Every single thing for those who love God. Whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to become the children of God. These promises might not make 100% sense right now, but as you listen to these messages over and over again, every message that we speak in here is more promises from God and more avenues of truth that you have to battle the lies. There's another avenue now, and it's called truth. You don't have to go down the lie anymore. You don't have to take the left road. There's always another road now. This ministry gives you that choice. Everything's a choice. Your attitude is a choice. If you have the tools, if you have the truth to battle the lies, you will have the power of truth, of choice. And you can then choose. It says choose this day who you're going to serve. You can choose the left road still, but you're going to suffer. And God will teach you and bring you back to the right road. It's always got to be truth. Amen. Come out Wednesday nights, guys. It's a great night. I'm telling you. It's a little different flow, but it is incredible. I mean, the things that we talk about, we never have any idea. We just come in, pastor goes, what are we going to talk about? And we just sit there for a second, and all of a sudden, something pops up, and then we have an avenue. But it really is a great night. All right, and Sundays, you guys know 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock worship, 11 o'clock service, Wednesday, 7:30. Amen? All right, have a great week, guys. Amen.